Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Pinchas. Let's start with a story about Rav Chaim Ozer Gruzinski. This is a story, the way that the stories go about Rav Chaim Ozer, of course, he was a Gaon Olam. Of course, he was a tzaddik. And one of the things that he was extraordinarily good at was multitasking. And because he was multitasking so well, it turned out that, and because he was such a tzaddik, people would come to him for all kinds of things. Shilas, brachas, whatever it was, Rav Chaim Ozer was a yochid in his door. There's a story that people would like line up to, you know, to ask him questions and whatnot. And there was a couple that came to him right before they got married. And the woman was a yesoma. She had neither parent. And she'd grown up as a yesoma. And the way the story goes is that they didn't really have any money. And he turned and told his Rebbetzin, you need to make sure that everything's taken care of as far as the chasana is concerned. And then he whispered to them, he said, has anybody taught you, you know, about the halachas that you need to know? And he took the chasana and kala into the hallway since the yesoma didn't know anything. And he went through with it. Well, there was a whole line of people waiting. So that was just the sensitivity and the appreciation and the dedication of extraordinary amounts of time of Rav Chaim Ozer. There's a story about Rav Aryeh Levin, who once visited a man who was suffering in a hospital, and he asked the Rav, he said, like, why should I continue doing this? I can't really do mitzvahs. I can't daven. I can't learn. I'm just sitting here and experiencing pain. And Rav Aryeh Levin took his hand and said, well, who knows? Maybe one more word of Kriya Shema in pain is worth more than a lifetime of mitzvahs done in comfort. Every breath that you say now, while you have emuna, brings Hashem so much nachas ruach. And the man began to cry. And from that moment on, he accepted each breath with emuna and gratitude. And instead of being so uncomfortable and sad and bitter, when he did pass away, he passed away peaceful, uplifted, and feeling a lot of meaning. So one thing I'd like from this story to highlight is that we have an aversion to tsar. We have an aversion to tsar, but tsar is a part of life. So I think that it's important for us to remember and say that, you know, that has its part. Doesn't mean that we ask for it, but when it comes, it's a kapara. Kadosh Baruch Hu created it for a reason. There's a story about a granddaughter, and I'm not going to, Rav Shlomka of Muzavil. And the daughter was young, and she had a chevra who wanted to go to a movie theater and other places which probably weren't so appropriate. It wasn't so exciting, obviously, for her grandfather, the Rav. But nevertheless, she approached him, said, look, this is what my chevra is doing. I was wondering if you can give me some money so I can go to the theater. And when the Rav heard, he put his hand in his pocket and he gave her the amount that he asked for. But right before she left the door, he said, listen, you asked for the money, I gave it to you exactly as you want. But you should just know that this is ripping my heart if you go there. It's just so painful. And when the girl heard that her grandfather said it with such love, she immediately declared, I will not go. And this was the pikhus and I guess the sensitivity that that the Rav had. I think, you know, my wife likes to use the term read the room. The ability to read the room, it's part of the fifth chelik, which we don't have. It's something that we need to learn over time, and probably that's some of the value of these stories, but I think it's important to understand that one of the things that the Rav did really, really well here was he understood that he should mention and highlight how important their relationship was and how much he loved her and how much he wanted her, you know, to have everything she wanted. It's just that he changed what she wanted. So the Chafetz Chaim said something about how important it is to get ready for Shabbos. He said, I heard in the name of a particular Godel that said, somebody who keeps Shabbos in this world, even if chas v'sholom, they have a punishment of Gehenna, because of their avonos, they're not going to be punished on Shabbos, because this person has considered Shabbos like a very, very special time. And the time of Shabbos starts when you start preparing on Erev Shabbos to deal with Tzurchei Shabbos. And at that point in time, the Zochus of Shabbos will already start start protecting you. So that means it's important to start working on Tzurchei Shabbos super early. Now, this is in Perek Dalet of Shem Olam for those who want to see it. So there's a story about the stipler. And his hanhaga was that he would be the one on Erev Shabbos who would sweep the floors. And even when people came to ask him a shaila, he would still hold on to the broom in his hand. And there's other stories about this as well, but it's just very important for us to remember that, like, we should take these with pride. You know, it's not like I'm going to hide this broom like when somebody shows up or whatever. And everybody did whatever they did. It's flowers, it's making the beds, it's whatever else it is, making Shabbos. Have the chashivus is of utmost importance. Now, when we describe Pinchas onto the Divrei Torah, it says, Hakono mikin osi, eskin osi, he had my zealousness, right, or my jealousness. And the Vorkarov says as follows, even though he had kina, kano es kina si besocham, even though he had kina for Hashem, he was still besocham, he was still amongst Klal Yisrael, he was still with them, he didn't separate from them, he didn't throw them away in his mind, he didn't write them off. That's a very challenging thing for us sometimes. I think that there's a natural phenomenon called fight or flight, and that people will tend to say, I'm going to throw out the baby with the bathwater when they see people doing things that they don't like. That's not the best method. The best method saying, I'm still with you, but here's how we need it to proceed. Now, a beautiful idea from Rav Moshe Feinstein. We see in Chav Zayin Yud Ches that Moshe Rabbeinu puts his hands on Yehoshua. So why is it that he put his hands on Yehoshua's head? That's the smicha. This comes to show that all of Yehoshua's life, he was kind of subjugated kofuf to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he didn't do anything just out of his own, you know, his own thought process. He followed Moshe Rabbeinu's thoughts. He followed his Rebbe. And that's the way that musmachim go from generation to generation, all the way from Yehoshua, all the way down. We're all trying to follow Moshe Rabbeinu. One of the big pelas, this is an altar of kelm, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu is requesting from the Ribbono Shel Olam that he prepares a new leader for Klal Yisrael, he gets extraordinarily specific. Look in Perk Chav Zayin, Tes Zayin to Yud Zayin. Yivkod Hashem Elokim Ruchos, Ish Ala Eda, V'lot Ye Adas Hashem Ketzon Asher Ein Lam Roa. So right before he leaves, he gives this whole long speech, Asher Yetzei Lifneim, Asher Yavo Lifneim, Asher Yotzeim, Asher Lo Yuvieim, V'lot Ye Adas Hashem Ketzon Asher Ein Lam Roa. Meaning it's a big arichus, a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. He doesn't need to write a job description with all the, you know, the fine print, as it were. So what is he adding? The Altar of Kelm says, it's very, very simple. When we daven, it is better to daven in specifics to show that we are feeling what is chaser or what could be improved. Now, this is the subject of some discussion, meaning there are those who could say that the tefillah should just be the matbe of tefillah and you should have kavanos with the words. That is an ongoing debate. But here is a raya for the altar of kelm. Another altar of kelm, which is quite a remarkable distinction for Yehoshua, says in Rashi, when Moshe heard it was Yoshua, that it came the time, that what was happening, he said, Higia Shosh et Batzor Kish, Yeshu Bnei Yisrael Eskidulasi. He says, the time has come. We need to figure out what's going to go with Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Kach Alsa B'machshav Lefanai. He said, this wasn't what I was thinking. Dai Hu Yehoshua Li Tol Schar Shimusho. Yehoshua should get the schar for his shimush of you, Shalom Mash Mitilcha Olo. He never left your tent. So, it's saying that there's a chazal. We should start with the chazal in Brachas. It says, Gedola Shimush Shel Torah Yoreser Mi Limudo. The shimush is greater than the limud. Because through the shimush, you get the following thing, says the altar of Kelm. You get to have the concept of Nosa Ba'ol, and you have Avas Torah. And then you can really become a full Talmud Chocham. It's Nosi Ba'ol and Chaveiro, and you get all these milas. And that's why Yehoshua got the particular Melucha, because he never stopped with his Sheirus, his service of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Rashi says, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Shimusho Shel Yehoshua is enough for him to have it, because he was Nosi Ba'ol more. There's a support for this in the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah Chaf Aleph Yudalad. They say that Yehoshua, he would take the benches in the base Medrash and he'd put out the mats on the ground, and we can see that he was involved in the smallest amount of detail. And indeed, I think quite often I read that in Kelm, responsibilities were as a chus for people. In fact, you know, we have, there's a minig in some communities to sell off kibudim on Simchas Torah, and or for Simchas Torah. And in Kelm, the way that they did this practice was not selling off kibudim, but they would sell the opportunities to have responsibilities in the yeshiva. So that's a really, really remarkable thing to think about, is that that's how important achrayos was to them, and it can help us feel a little bit more appreciation toward achrayos ourselves. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for learning with me.